All right, so we'll just go ahead and roll on into the next presentation, which is myself. So today I'm going to be presenting on the impact of two-spotted spider mite herbivory on phytohormone expression in cotton tree with imidacloprid and jasmonic acid. So this is a little bit about the two-spotted spider mite. So it's a temperate to subtropical pest. It's been a very yield-limiting and a tough pest to deal with, especially in the Mid-South. However, in our Mid-South meeting we talked about today, spider mite seem to be falling off. Now, depending on where you are, we had a tough spider mite year this past year in Louisiana, but other states around us may not. And so these arthropods respond really well to rain. So it's the cheapest miticide that you can buy. So when we have a rainy year, spider mites don't seem to be a problem. But like this past year where it turned off dry for 3 months, spider mites were a serious issue for at least us in Louisiana. So this is kind of just a picture of the spider mite. So these are females here, and then you have her egg clutch here, and you can see some of the webbing around the spider mite. So they're definitely a tough pest to see, but it is one of those pests that tells on itself, so that you can actually kind of turn row check mites, that if you see reddening in a cotton field, you can see that, you know, something's going on, may have mites. Although we don't recommend that. You need to get out in the field and look, but that is one you can just look driving down the road, you can see there's mite hotspot. So severe mite infestations, you can kind of see this is in the crook of a plant or the petiole. So, I mean, it's they do build some pretty intense webbing, and it creates a microclimate that helps regulate temperature, humidity, and also helps kind of offset predator searching, things like that. So they are a very interesting pest. So their emergence as a pest, specifically in Louisiana as well as the Mid-South, typically insecticide treatments for other pests within the season. So when we see guys use a lot of harsher chemistry, so organophosphates, pyrethroids specifically, we typically, if the conditions are right, spider mites may be right there to come up and resurge. Hot, dry weather kind of goes along with what I said about the drought. The hotter and drier it is, typically the more serious spider mite infestations can get. And a lot of issues that we see in earlier planting window is the later inadequate fall and spring vegetation management. Because so in the Mid-South, we typically have very wet springs. And so that kind of precludes our farmers from being able to get in the field and kill that vegetation, that early kind of bloom as it starts to warm up of henbit, ryegrass, a lot of these weed species that come up that spider mites like to kind of sit on and just wait until we plant our cotton in. So they can be an issue, especially when it's wet and guys can't get in the field to control those weed species. And so actually the cost of control is going up in Louisiana with two applications averaging about $16 per acre. And that's assuming that guys are not using lower rates of abamectin. So I'm not going to get off into that tangent, but we're starting to find some issues with abamectin not working as effectively as it used to. And so we use more expensive chemistry such as Portal, Zeal, things of that nature, or a higher labeled rate of abamectin. And so it's costing mite control to go up, and it's kind of hurting more in the farmer's pocketbooks when commodity prices are going down. So your spider mite injury to cotton, they just feed on the epidermal cells. So essentially they destroy that cell. They pierce their stylets in, destroy that cell, cause it to essentially suck out the plant fluids, cause it to desiccate, and that's what causes that rusting or bronzing. And its severe injury can result, including complete defoliation and fruit loss. So this is an example of some pretty severe spider mite injury in cotton. You can see how kind of hot and dry it was, because this is some pretty spindly, crappy looking cotton. So this is some of our dry land cotton on the Macon Ridge Station. And I like to put this picture in here because this is a weedy alfalfa field that we use to actually attract plant bugs for our cotton experiments. But what happens is spider mites love alfalfa because it's a nice perennial, stays there year round, and as soon as they move straight off into alfalfa into cotton. So you can see that infestation actually kind of walking across that field. So it was really nice to watch this infestation just move all the way across. And so kind of getting into the nuts and bolts of my presentation is neonicotinoid seed treatment's role in spider mite infestation in cotton. So this has been postulated. There's a lot in the literature about neonic's role. And so the predominant thoughts are that the suppression of plant defense genes, including jasmonic acid, OPDA, JAILA, I'll get into a little bit of that a little later, but it does have an altered levels of phytohormone involved in induced defense. And this increases susceptibility to infestation throughout the growing season. And so I'll show a little bit of data about that at the end. But this is a very kind of condensed slide. You could write a book on any one of these hormones, but this is just for this presentation's sake. And the main ones we looked at were jasmonic acid. So it's a metabolite that regulates plant response to biotic stress. So typically, it's going to be your insect species or your necrotic fungus is going to be affects the jasmonic acid pathway, whereas your salicylic acid pathway is going to be primarily in defense of like root rot, different kinds of pathogens that are in the soil or other kind of pathogenic fungi. And then you have a kind of a suite of other hormones that are activated, OPDA, ABA, and JAILE. So these are all conjugates kind of, your typical JAILE is a conjugate of JA with isoleucine, and it's kind of a downstream elicitor. When, let's say, an insect takes a bite out of that plant, it activates that JA signal, it conjugates with isoleucine, turns off a Jas protein, and then elicits a response from the plant. So it's a very complicated pathway. So this is the objective. We're to test the effect of our seed treatments on hormone modulation in cotton. And so this is what we looked at. This is going to be the lab study. So I did a field and lab. This is primarily composed of a lab. So our test area was 48 cages arranged in a randomized complete block. The experimental design was a 3x3 factorial. So we had infested versus non-infested, sprayed jasmonic acid versus non-sprayed, and non-treated versus treated with imidacloprid. And so this is an example of the cage that we built. So essentially what it does is it creates an enclosed climate, a system. So you keep the soil enclosed down here, and you have two watering holes here. And then we drill holes with a hole saw, that was fun, to basically allow respiration, so condensation didn't build up, so you could have it escape out both sides. But that's thrips netting, so thrips were not allowed to get in to affect our experiment. And this is a little bit different, a little easier picture to see. When the cotton emerged, we'd seal it with waterproof putty, so spider mites couldn't travel down the stalk, get into the soil, but it still allowed us to examine the cotton and allowed it to grow. And so this is a 1 gallon container, so it allows the cotton to get to pretty good size. So some of my cotton got so big I almost need to pix it in the growth chamber because it was getting out of control. So these are our treatments. So it was a 10 millimolar concentration of JA, seed applied, imidacloprid, and then our non-treated. And then sampling, I tried to handle these as least as possible. So when we put mites on, we infested it with 10, as small as we could get, kind of proto-deuteronym crawler mites. So we tried to help, try to get to where it's, you know, they complete most of their life cycle on the cotton. We tried to infest with eggs, but that was a catastrophic failure because I don't know if you've seen spider mite eggs. They're extremely hard to deal with. And so we removed each leaf from the plant and inspected it for all life stages, adults, immatures, and eggs under the dissecting scope. And so this comes with sampling. Tissue samples were pulled from all leaves. We immersed them in liquid nitrogen and then shipped them to the Donald Danforth Plant Science Institute to have our phytohormone analysis conducted and so we could get our results. And so these are our results. This is from the growth chamber study. So we have adult mites on the y-axis, and then your non, so this is your kind of code down here. This is non-true non-treated. So this is black seed. This is going to be your non-treated with a jasmonic acid overspray. This is going to be your gaucho and black seed, and this is your gaucho and jasmonic acid. And granted, these are all infested, so that's what I'm going to report on. I'm not going to report on the non-infested for this talk. But what we saw was where the jasmonic acid, where we sprayed it actually controlled our mite populations in the adults. Whereas, kind of contrary to what we thought would happen, where we just had our gaucho, we had really no significant difference from where we sprayed our JA or our non-treated. So, however, this is kind of the most telling slide in this because our jasmonic acid did suppress those mite populations, at least in the adult stage. Going into immatures, things get a little more muddier, where we don't really see a significant difference among any of our treatments. So, whether it's non-treated to gaucho and jasmonic acid. Total mobile, so this is going to be adults and immatures. So these are ones that can crawl. We're still not seeing a significant difference in any of our treatments, whether it be non-treated or have gaucho JA. So this is kind of disheartening when I got this data because we worked hard on this. However, it is telling to at least that the field research may not match the lab research, which I'll get to in the next couple slides. This is total eggs. So we really saw no differences. It kind of closed the gap a little bit, but we really didn't see any significant differences in the eggs across any of our treatments. And then so this is what did show is that jasmonic acid showed up in the plant. So where we did spray it, it got a huge boost in jasmonic acid, significant, highly more highly significant than the non-treated as well as the others. But what was also interesting to see is that where we had the gaucho, although it's not significantly different, it did have a statistically a pretty good response lower where we did have imidacloprid. So there could be something going on in that pathway to where gaucho is affecting uptake or expression of jasmonic acid, even applied endogenously outside of the plant. Looking at JAILE, kind of the same thing. We didn't really see any significant differences here, but with a non-treated, where we didn't apply jasmonic acid, we saw a significantly lower concentration. OPDA, same pattern. Non-treated, it kind of picks up where we don't see any significant differences amongst the non-treated, but with the jasmonic acid and the gaucho, we do see a lot higher, at least numerically, than some of our other treatments. And salicylic acid, this was the one that I thought was going to kind of come out the most telling, because typically what the literature says is where you apply where you apply C treatments, thiamethoxam, imidacloprid specifically, it significantly upregulates salicylic acid. So that's why on rice we see guys that say when they use a C treatment, it gives them increased disease protection. Well, that could lead by that fact that if it upregulates salicylic acid, acts as kind of almost a mimic by decreasing jasmonic acid, because it's a, and I didn't really go through that. There, what happens is it's a kind of a, I'm looking for the word. When one goes up, the other goes down. So when jasmonic acid is upregulated, salicylic acid is downregulated. When salicylic acid is upregulated, jasmonic acid is downregulated. So the pathway competes. And so where we see, at least from rice and some other grass species, increased disease protection where they use a C treatment, is that it's upregulating that salicylic acid pathway, giving that plant an increased natural resistance to disease. And the literature kind of hints to that, as well as some anecdotal things I've heard from guys that work in different areas of the rice industry. And so this is moving into ABA, so really not seeing a whole lot of difference here between our treatments. And so this is something that I kind of really was telling that kind of wanted, we went into the lab from the field. So in 2013, where we had our true black seed non-treated insecticide in cotton, we had significantly less mites than where we just had a seed treatment. So this is 86 days after planting, we are still finding significantly more mites in our seed treated cotton versus our black seed. 2015, we didn't get that same kind of image. However, with 2015, we had a severe drought. And so it's pretty well known that drought can play all kinds of havoc with plants, with especially cotton's suite of phytohormones. And so we think that may be the reason we didn't get something a little closer in 2015 as opposed to 2013, because it was so dry. 2014, we were averaging 2 inches of rain a week. And so you couldn't buy a spider mite in the Mid-South. So we tried, but we just couldn't get them to take. So going into conclusions, neonic seed treatment significantly increased our total spider mite numbers in the field, but we didn't see it in the lab, at least for 1 year. And foliar applications are not curative for JA. We calculated the cost for how much it would take to spray an acre of cotton with jasmonic acid, and it was about $6,500 an acre. So jasmonic acid is extremely expensive, and it's not something that could be used in the field. However, possible future research, it could be used to prime plant defenses, and if they are applied, they should be used as preventative. So, and with that, I'll take any questions if y'all have any. Yes, sir.
Have you ever looked at the protein?
I haven't, but that.
Because those are the two things they upregulate. Jasmonic acid and stuff.
I kind of wish a lab, somebody to make a, there's mutants for everything else. There's Arabidopsis and tobacco, but nobody's wanted to make a cotton mutant yet. So somebody needs to get on that so they can knock out that pathway in cotton. So, but yeah, that's a great suggestion. Anybody else? Yes, sir. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. This is just, there was one paper that showed that, And also I'm basing this some on anecdotal data too, from what I kind of, growers always have told me when I worked on, whenever I have a seed treatment in rice, it seems like we have less disease problems. And it would seem to make sense, now this is, I'm drawing conclusions here, but if you have, all of our rice has some kind of seed treatment on it, most of it being Cruiser, which is dimethoxam, and so the guys seem to have, they have better cold tolerance, which salicylic acid helps regulate in that as well. It helps stop temperature issues in plants. Salicylic acid is a direct driver on that. So where guys use a seed treatment, they all, at least Cruiser, they tell me that the rice comes out of the ground, even when it's cold, it's kind of, it comes out a lot faster with more vigor. And so I think that would have something to do with it. So I'm kind of, like I said, I'm drawing conclusions on it, but that seems to be, that's kind of where I got that from. So, and I'm out of time. So.